This is the Jason Kirkman Show as recorded on February 11th, 2012. Due to technical difficulties, the first 5 minutes of the program were not recorded. With me in the studio was my guest, Rob Shaken, who brought in with him a Braille yardstick. He begins the conversation by discussing his yardstick from here.
Close and akin to Boston. And it's also marked for the Perkins School of the Blind.
Interesting.
Now, this is what caught my interest in saying Alamogordo has this wonderful school for the blind down here, right downtown.
Right.
And they got some of the most beautiful grounds I've ever seen.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
The place is
like a park.
Gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
And when I saw this and he presented it to me, he says, Rob, he says, would you like to bring this on the show tonight since you're going to be? I said, yeah. I think it's kind of an object of interest. Being made out of brass, it's obviously an antique because they don't make these things out of brass anymore. Brass is too expensive to do this with. They make them out of plastic now. When I looked them up online, and well, I know somebody that could possibly have this.
You told me that we have a lady at our church.
Her name is Doris.
Yes. What are you going to do with that now?
Tomorrow at Sunday service at the Eternity Church, I want to present this to her and say,
she's been very faithful. She has. She's a sweet, sweet lady.
My brother said, could you present it? And my brother just met her yesterday. He's not one of our church members, but
right,
you know, he wanted to go there and help her out with the dry eye, and he knew how to do this. And we, him and I together, even though I'll be the only one there, along with the rest of the church group,
right,
I want to present this to her.
Well, that'll be
gift.
Fantastic. Now, I want to transition along a little bit here. You introduced me to some interesting music this week, and this is going to be new to you too, Adam, because I don't think you've heard. You probably know. I never even heard of this group.
Adam, you're in for an.
You are in for a treat.
All
there,
right.
Bob plays on the morning a group called Celtic Thunder that sings a song. And I found it from this group that you introduced me to. They do the same song. All God's Creatures Got a Place in the Choir.
And by the way, Celtic Thunder is a very famous group in Ireland.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're famous all over the place.
And the whole thing about them, you notice they span the generations.
Yes.
From the little ones up to
yeah.
the older ones.
They've got a 13-year-old. I think he's
yes.
13.
Well,
and all
I think he's like 60 now. They only really hit the American waves maybe about 3-4 years ago.
But very good track. But this group that you introduced me to, they play this song as well. But you were telling me about this song. We're talking, of course,
Makeham and Clancy.
Makeham and Clancy, an American-Irish group. Did I put
actually,
that right?
No, they're from Ballinacluna, Catacanshua, County Tipperary in Ireland.
I see.
And Tommy, the front man, was from Armagh, which is the Ulster area.
And is
Ireland.
He the one that moved to...
He moved to Dover, New Hampshire,
Dover, New Hampshire.
Where I used to live.
Right.
And I got to know Tommy. In fact, I used to work on his vehicles.
Well, we're going to play a song here from Tommy here in just a moment called Four Green Fields. Set this up for us, Rob. What's this song about?
Well, this is a song about Ireland, and we've been known to have troubles and problems in Ireland over many of the years.
Again, I've seen the movies.
There were things like the IRA, the Irish Republican yes. Army, and all of this that happened over there. And the land has been in turmoil, and Irish Americans the world over know all about this. The Four Green Fields, it means Ulster, Munster, Leinster, and Connacht, which are the four provinces of Ireland. It's divided up into four areas.
So kind of like the states here.
Now, Munster, Leinster, and Connacht are part of what we call the Republic of Ireland. Ulster, and where Armagh is, where Tommy came from, is the part that's controlled by the British government. And I'm not going to get political here, I promise.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, without
so
further
the whole
ado.
Song, the whole premise behind it is describing Ireland in the four green fields to be once again together as
united.
One nation. And united.
Thank you very much, Rob. Well, without further ado, we'll go ahead and play that track now. Here's Tommy Makeham with Four Green Fields.
What did I have? Said the fine old woman. What did I have? This proud old woman did say I had four green fields. Each one was a jewel, but strangers came and tried to take them from me. I had fine, strong sons. They fought to save my jewels. They fought and died, and that was my grief, said she. Long time ago, said the fine old woman. Long time ago, this proud old woman did say, there was war and death, plundering and pillage. My children starve by mountain, valley and sea, and their wailing cries, they shook the very heavens. My four green fields ran red with their blood, said she. The fine old woman, what have I now? This proud old woman did say, I have four green fields. One of them's in bondage in strangers' hands that tried to take it from me. But my sons have sons as brave as were their fathers. My fourth green field will bloom once again, said she.
Good joke, but what I really admire is wit. One of the great wits of this century was Sir Winston Churchill, who had a running feud with Lady Astor. In one famous exchange, she said to him, "Sir, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your coffee." And Churchill immediately replied, "Madam, if I were your husband, I'd drink it."
That's a great joke from John Hillerman. I don't know if you remember John Hillerman. Adam, this is probably a little bit before your time. He was the guy that played Higgins on Magnum P.I., the great John Hillerman. Of course, I brought that clip up to segue. We've got Valentine's Day coming up. Adam, you didn't forget, did you? I know you've got a girlfriend.
No, sir, I didn't forget.
Have you already got picked out what you're going to get your girlfriend for Valentine's Day?
I think so.
Oh, you're not going to tell me, though, on the air, though, right?
No, sir.
I'll tell you what I'm going to get my wife. I asked my wife the other day what she wanted for Valentine's Day, and she said she wanted a new bag and a new belt. And I'm 100% confident that once I get that new bag and the new belt, that our vacuum cleaner is going to run better than it ever has before. So, yeah, that's bad. I'm sorry. Oh, anyway. Before we go on any further, here's Gracie Allen.
There was one poor little boy sitting all by himself, and he looked so sad. So I brought him around and made everybody shake hands with him.
And that made him feel better.
Yeah, well, he almost forgot he had the measles.
He almost forgot he had the measles. She went around and made everybody shake hands with him, make him feel better. That was so nice of her. I'm gonna play a clip. I found this clip right before we came in. I love Christian comedy. But once, you know, the thing about Christian comedy, too, is there's a lot of truth to it. Sometimes it segues from comedy into a little bit of a lecture and a little bit of a social reminder on the way things used to be and how they should be. But I found a comedian by the name of Brad Stein, and you ought to look him up. It's
Stine, a great comedian, but he's also got he says a lot of truth. And I found this recording of him, and he's talking about and these are his words, the wussification of America. Here's Brad Stine. Listen to this. There's a lot, just a lot of truth in what he says here.
I'm going to watch political correctness die in my lifetime. But first, I want to watch it suffer. Because it has taken our children and turned them from people of character who stood up for what they believed, irrespective of what somebody thought, and took away their spine and their courage and made them wussies. That's what's killing us. It's the wussification of America that's killing us. No more wussies. We have to teach the kids who we are and how we got here, because it was rough, man. People came over here hundreds of years ago in boats, man, and it was hard. Hundreds of years ago, it was hard on boats, and they came here to get away from religious persecution. And some people came here, and they were slaves, and it was a horrible stay in our culture. And we've tried to change that. But the point is, we got here, and now we created this amazing country. And what was so fascinating is people were willing to die. They're willing to die to get here. And if you think that wasn't rugged enough, as they're coming here, they brought their kids. Months and months and months on the stinking ocean trying to get over there. And the kids didn't complain. They threw up a lot, but they didn't complain. And they all arrived here, and we got the entire eastern seaboard created. But that wasn't enough. We were going to go west because we were going to create a free democracy that no world had ever seen before. No land had ever seen. And so we got into covered wagons, and we went for months and months. And these people, they brought their kids again. And the kids didn't have DVDs, and they didn't have radios, and they didn't have CDs. And the kids weren't going, are we there yet? You know why? Because there was no there yet. We're going to make it there. And we did. We made it there. And we created a country unlike any other. Because when something is hard to achieve, when you get it, you appreciate it.
Now, I'm going to ask each of you respectively, Rob. We've got basically three generations sitting in this room right now, more or less.
I speak for yourself. I'm the youngster here.
Okay. All right, I'm speaking for myself.
At least last I knew, I was 18 up here.
Okay. What do you think? What he says there? Is it, you think there's truth in that?
Well, the only thing I can say is when I look at the fact of how everybody came over here and with their kids and everything else.
Right, right.
I think of another comedian.
Loan him your mic. I don't think his is going through there real quick.
Oh,
that's much better. Okay, there
Does that
we go.
Work?
That's working.
All right, we got an effective mic, which that's quite all right. I don't think anybody wants to really hear me anyways.
And our station engineer just came in the room here. Bob's in here to fix that for us.
I used to work with teenagers years ago.
And I found it.
And when I heard the thing about the kids coming over, and it's like, yeah, we there yet, and it's like, there was no there yet, I immediately thought of a comedian by the name of Bill Cosby.
Yes.
And there was a recording he did, oh my God, many years ago, maybe 30, 40 years ago. And he did this little thing about teenagers in particular. And he says, have you ever noticed you put the word teen after the age, brain damage sets in.
Yeah,
they're all brain damaged. Man, I remember being brain damaged myself.
Oh, I think that hits us all to a certain level. Now, I'm going to ask Adam now, because Adam, no offense, and I'm sure none will be taken, but Mr. Stine, he was talking about, I believe, I could be mistaken, he was talking about your generation. Now, I have no doubt that you are the exception to the rule, but what do you think about that? Do you think kids people your age have it differently or any better or any worse than my generation? Or
I don't know. That's kind of hard. I mean,
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's fine. It's just,
put him on the spot.
There's this just so much new technology, and
like you were saying,
it's
yes.
great that we have all this technology, but it's also bad because now we're spoiled. We expect everything to be handed to us.
You know, in that aspect,
we become lazy.
I'm there too. Yeah,
and it's just, I don't know. I think I'm.
But you know what? I think that's as far as the technology. That has affected every generation. I mean, I deal with people on a daily basis that are in their 80s and 90s, who have computer issues, you know. And I think that's great too.
That's my brother.
Okay,
he's a dinosaur.
He's a dinosaur. So I don't think that. But then again, you know, you don't see some of these people walking around with iPhones, and a lot of people still don't have cell phones. And that's fine. It's a generational thing. But I love my MP3 player just as much as the 15-year-old kid. I'm sure that my music is a totally different set of music that's being played through it. But that's okay. But I think there is something to say about what he says, that things are totally different. You know, like what he said, you know, kids today ask, are we there yet? And they didn't used to do that because there was no there yet. The biggest issue... I don't ever remember hearing or saying from us in the car, in the family car, are we there yet? What I do remember is hearing, he's on my side of the car. You know?
The only thing I remember from those days, where's the next bathroom?
Yeah, that was the next one, too. I absolutely remember that. Hey, let's go into some more gospel music. Let's see, what do we have here? I have got a song here. One of my favorite songs, I don't know if I've told you this or Adam, but one of my favorite singers from days gone by is a man by the name of Jay Kess, who started the Imperials that sang with Elvis, but he also started a group called the Imperials, and from what I understand, they're still together. I think their bass singer that started with him might even still be with him, or it might be his son, Mr. Armin Morales. But Jay Kess started that song. If anybody ever asked Elvis Presley who his favorite singer was, it was Jay Kess. Now, I don't have all the information on this song that I'm getting ready to play. I got it in my email from a friend of mine who I used to go to church with years ago. The lady singing this song, she wrote this song 3 days before she was killed, and she was Jake Hess's first cousin. It's a pretty good song. I'll go ahead and play that now for you. I hope you enjoy that.
This day, help me with the many valleys in my life. Help me with the words I say. Help me with the bills I pay. Help me, Lord, for I need you in my life. Jesus died on Calvary. Lord, you did it all for me. Help me be what you'd have me to be. Here I am, down on my knees. Hear my cry, I beg you please. Help me, Lord, to be all that I can be. I should be. Help me give all the love you give to me. Help me teach my kids to pray. Help me share the love you gave. Help me, Lord, for I need you in my life. Jesus died on Calvary. Lord, you did it all for me. Help me be what you'd have me to be. Here I am, down on my knees. Hear my cry, I beg you please. Help me, Lord, to be all that I can be. I am, down on my knees. Hear my cry, I beg you please. Help me, Lord, to be all that I can be.
Rob, I've got a treat for you here in a minute, but first, we were talking a little bit about history earlier. I've got an audio clip from, I don't even know the date on it, but it's old. General John J. Pershing, otherwise known as Black Jack Pershing.
Black Jack Pershing.
Yes, he was from northwest Missouri. Actually, I believe he spent some time here in New Mexico chasing Pancho Villa around.
Yes, he was known for that.
But here's an audio clip of him. I hope this turns out pretty good. I'll go ahead and play that now.
3,000 miles from home, an American army is fighting for you. Everything you hold worthwhile is at stake. Only the hardest blows can win against the enemy we are fighting.
That was General John Black Jack Pershing.
And I'm very glad you didn't ask me if I remembered that when he recorded it.
I'm sure you didn't. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you didn't. Well, I've got another clip for you guys. I think you'll enjoy this. I don't think you've heard this either, Adam. This is about a friend of mine, and he might even be listening. If he is, I would like to think maybe he'll call in. But this is a story about a friend of mine, and I took some poetic license with this, a little liberty with this. You might have heard this story before, but I like to put this to a little bit of music and applied it to him. He was indeed... this is the man that got me into law enforcement career, my law enforcement career. He was a chaplain with the Miller County Sheriff's Department. Without further ado, here's my story about Mark Cerruti. Now I want to tell y'all a little story about a friend of mine named Mark Cerruti. Now Mark Cerruti was a good old-fashioned preacher down there in Miller County, Missouri. Now Mark was also a lieutenant for the Miller County Sheriff's Department. Now that lieutenant was an honorary title because, you see, Mark was a chaplain for the county sheriff. Now one day the sheriff called Mark up and said, "Mark, I want you to do me a big favor tonight." And Mark said, "What's that, sheriff?" The sheriff said, "I want you to come down here and preach to these county prisoners. They are in a rough way and they need to get their hearts right with God." Mark said, "Okay, Sheriff, I'll be down there tonight about 7 o'clock. Well, about 7 o'clock, Mark grabbed his Bible, got in his car, and went on down to the county jail. That jailer took Mark down to the cell block. Mark lined all those prisoners up against the wall and commenced preaching. While Mark preached harder than he ever had before in his life, he preached against every sin known to man, every sin listed in the book, and maybe a few others not even mentioned. Well, after he got done preaching, some of them sinners came forward and accepted Christ and wanted to change their lives. After it's all said and done, Mark said, "Now we're going to take prayer requests." He went down the lines, and one fella says, "I want to pray for my daddy. He said he's a drunkard, he's no good, he's going to wind up in a lot more trouble than he already is." Mark said, "Where's your daddy?" Prisoner said, "Why, he's standing here right next to me." Went on down the next line, one fella wanted to pray for his ailing mother. He said he couldn't be taken care of her if he's sitting there in jail. Mark went on down the line, took a few more prayer requests. He finally got to one fella, said, "Preacher, I want you to pray for my hearing." Mark said, "I will do that." He reached in his pocket, pulled out a little bottle of oil, poured it all over his hands, and commenced to rub it all over that prisoner's head. Well, then he took his right finger and stuck it in that prisoner's left ear. Then he took his left finger and stuck it in that prisoner's right ear, and he commenced to praying. "Dear Lord, this man needs hearing. We ask that you heal him of his afflictions. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen." Mark took his hands off that boy, and he looked him straight in the eye, and he said, "Son, how's your hearing?" That prisoner looked Mark back in the eye and he said, "Well, I don't know, sir. My hearing's not till next Tuesday." Oh, well. I'm sure that happened somewhere along the line. That was my friend Mark Cerruti. I wonder if he's listening tonight. He sent me an email before the show started and asked me how to tune in. Of course, I told him he could go to www.com. KUPRradio.com or
www. You have no problem with self-promotion, do you?
No, I don't. KHIIradio.com. That's what we're here for, Rob. We enjoy having our listeners from all over the country now that we've been streaming since back August, and it's been great. So one thing I get excited about is checking the stats at night and in the morning, see where our listeners have come from. We've got them all over around the world now. Russia.
We have
listeners in the Soviet Union, or what would be the former Soviet Union, but in the Russian Federation, down in Mexico,
really,
over in England, they're just all over the place. So yeah.
No, he said England,
not New England.
Right. Sorry.
Sometimes I used to. Well, I've traveled around New England, and I used to think sometimes that maybe they shouldn't have been a country all unto themselves. But
you mean you didn't get the memo?
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't then. That's all right.
They sent me over here to let us know.
An ambassador,
because what I'm supposed to do is teach you all how to speak proper enunciated New England English.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you did that.
I know that's not going to go too far.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. Hey, I'm going to play a song now. One of my favorite groups used to be the Cathedrals, the Cathedral Quartet. Just heard a noise. I don't know what that was. But anyway, the Cathedral Quartet, one of their greatest songs was called The Prodigal Son. It's really, really nice, good gospel, southern gospel ballad. I'll go ahead and play that now for you.
Like the prodigal son, I wandered in darkness and traded my life for a worldly good time. No peace in my heart I ever could find, and I got so tired eating after the swine. So I believe I'll go
for thee.
Like the prodigal son,
like the prodigal son, I wander from Jesus,
I deep.
But the good shepherd saw,
but the good shepherd saw,
through the heat and the cold,
the mighty and nigh,
the mighty and nigh, he left in the fold.
Just to find this lost sheep,
just to find this lost sheep,
that was hungry and cold,
that was hungry and cold.
So I believe I'll go
home
and eat with the Father.
I have heard Rob sing, and I do think that he could hit that bass note. I've heard you sing. I think you could hit that. I'm sorry, what was that?
Which bass?
Right, note? That last one. Guess what? We got a caller on the air. All the way from Florida. A fella I used to know. We worked kind of a little bit of a radio project back home. Roy, are you there?
I'm still here. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Are you enjoying the Jason Kirkman Show tonight?
Very much so.
Very much. What's your favorite part?
Listening to Rob talk.
Yeah. What?
I want to hear him say, I want to park the car in the garage.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
Wait, would you like me to park your car in the garage?
Park the car in the garage.
Or shall we just park it and have a yard?
Yeah,
there
park it.
There you go. Take the yard.
So, Rob, or Roy, I got Rob, Roy, Adam, and Jason. It's like listening to Larry, Daryl, and Daryl sometimes. Anyway, how are things down in Florida?
They're doing pretty good. Actually getting cold tonight.
All right, what's the temperature down there?
I think we're down in almost the 30s now.
Wow, it's about 54 degrees right here in Alamogordo. And you remember we started a little, we were going to do a little radio. Actually, I kicked it off, and you were getting ready to help me out there on two different radio projects there. Back home, and boy, what a bust that was, wasn't it?
Yeah. AM wasn't a good medium, I don't think.
Well, no. Well, it's not. AM is a very good medium, but for what we were trying to do with it, one-tenth of a watt? It's a long story.
We
had a little low-power AM transmitter, and we on a good day, we could get out about 2 miles.
We used to call that pirate radio.
No, it's not pirate radio.
Oh, okay.
It's part 15. Fully, I would never, let me clarify that. I would never do anything like that. I was a police chief, and boy, I knew that if I even did came anywhere close to that, that was going to like make national news. Police chiefs running a pirate radio station.
Let me go back to what I said before. I'm one of the choir boys out of South
Florida. Right, right.
Yeah.
We're all really buying this, aren't we?
Yeah.
Completely. I'm sold.
So how's the boys and the wife doing?
They're doing good. Doing good.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Dawn. I hear Dawn in the background. Dawn was on our... I started a Citizens Police Committee, and she was on our committee. And we had a good time. We had a lot of good... We did a lot of projects with the kids and stuff. We really had a good time. She's got two of they were the cutest at the time. I'm sure they still are. Twins and some other children. But so glad to have you listening tonight, Roy.
I'm trying to catch you, just forgetting when the time is. And I'm glad you let me know. It's really good to hear.
Well, thank you. We're trying to play gospel music, some historical tracks, a little bit of comic banter, and I knew that I wouldn't have anything less than that if I brought Rob into the studio tonight. Because I told him I had a little bit of engineering problems last time where I had just a little bit of dead air. He said, you won't have that with me. He says, if nothing else, I'll snore into the microphone. So
well, actually, I've always been told that I don't know how to shut up.
So
really,
no kidding.
I couldn't imagine.
We didn't know anybody back like that back home, did we?
Never.
No. And we won't mention any names of the people that we didn't know.
Anyway. No,
no,
just check topics later.
Don't even go there. Oh, boy, that was a headache. Anyway.
Let's skip over that one.
Yeah.
Jason, it's good to hear. I'm glad you're keeping the faith, brother, and things are working out for you.
They are indeed. I've got good friends here, and things are just going good. Hey, you know, I'm going to play a song for you.
All right.
Just for you. Question is, what song am I going to play? I got one for you. How about this one? The message in this song is really good. It's called It's Hard to Stumble When You're on Your Knees.
Oh, that is a good one for me.
All right, I'll play that now for you, and thank you all for calling. You all have a great night.
No problem, brother. You guys have a good time. It was nice to speak at you, Rob.
Well, thank you very much. It was nice to hear from you.
You just keep it up, brother.
And don't forget that I got Adam here with me, too.
And Adam, although he is the quiet team.
He's a little bit of the quiet. Well, it's kind of easy to be quiet when you've got two loudmouths sitting right next to you.
Adam, will you stop being so loud?
I was going to say, been hogging up all the airtime, Adam.
So, all right. Well, thanks again, Roy. And I'll give you a call later on and hope you all have a good night. Here is the Jackson Southern Airs with It's Hard to Stumble.
Come on, let's have a little church here today. Are you the Lord leading the prayer?
Well, that was the Jackson Southerners with "It's Hard to Stumble When You're Down on Your Knees." That's very true. What that means, of course, you know what that means. Well, it's hard to stumble when you're praying, when you're talking to God. It makes it a little bit harder. We'll play one more gospel song here, and then we'll bring it back with Rob and Adam, and see what we can chew on just a little bit further. But right now, here's the Happy Goodman family with "Living in Canaan Now." Coming up next, here's Charlie Johnson and the Revivers, "I've Already Started."
Children, I've already started out to find a better home where no sickness and no sorrow on this beam of the world will come. There with Marilla and friends, we will be so happy then. Up there in the presence of the Lord all the time. It was when I was young I began to think upon my condition as a sinner, unsaved, oh yes. But I made it up in my mind while I had sufficient time that I would bow down on my knees, Lord, and pray. I told him I've already started out to find a better home. I'm going where no sickness and no sorrow of this mean, mean world will come. There with my relatives and friends, we will be so happy then. Up there in the presence of the Satan tried to get me to live a hypocrite. He said it would be all right if I lived a worldly form. Oh yes, he told me that time have changed the way we're living in a modern and a lighted day. He told me just to do what ever I please, it ain't no harm. But I told him I've already started out to find a
better home. I'm going where no sickness and no sorrow. I'll this mean old world will come there with my relatives and friends. We will be so happy then up there in the presence of the Lord all the time.
Hear this.
Folks, Bob Flott just came into the studio here just a moment ago and handed me a paper. I'm afraid I've got some sad news to report tonight. Los Angeles, from the Associated Press, Whitney Houston, who ruled as pop music's queen until her majestic voice and regal image were ravaged by drug use, erratic behavior, and a tumultuous marriage to singer Bobby Brown, has died. She was 48 years old. Houston's publicist Kristen Foster said Saturday that the singer had died, but the cause and location of her death were unknown. News of Houston's death came on the eve of music's biggest night, the Grammy Awards. It's a showcase where she once reigned, and her death was sure to cast a heavy pall on the ceremony. Houston's longtime mentor, Clive Davis, was to hold his annual concert and dinner Saturday. It is unclear if it's going to go forward. Again, Whitney Houston, a superstar of records and films, has died at age 48. So sorry to hear that. She was a great vocalist, and came from a long line of, I think, maybe not a long line, but a line of vocalists. Her mother was one of the backup singers for Elvis Presley at one time, and
really?
Had recorded some gospel music, from what I understand.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So yes, it's 48 years old. It seems that a lot of singers in the pop and rock world have problems in that age range. Throughout life, but it seems like their lives are shortened somewhere around the 40s.
It seems like whenever they become popular and famous, they almost think they're invincible, and they think they can do whatever they want, and they just want to party and just.
That's one. That's a take on it, certainly.
Well, there's another take on it too. When you get involved and you get famous and things like that, booze and drugs become a problem, and the reason why is it's an escapism. Maybe they're not intentionally doing this, but it takes its toll, and they get to the point where they can't handle it anymore.
It takes over them. That's for sure.
It's an escapism.
Well, you and I saw that as police officers every day, practically. I can't tell you the number. One thing I noticed about drunks, though, the women always wanted to fight me, and the men always wanted to shake my hands when it was all over.
You know, I actually have to say that the worst battles I had were women drunks.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. They were the worst. The guys would sit there and apologize profusely.
Oh, they'd be mad at first, and then they, you know, maybe we ought to go fishing. I had one guy tell me, maybe we ought to go fishing when this is all over with.
Yeah, the women, on the other hand, wanted to slit my throat.
Sure. Now, I'll say not all of the women, but for the majority, that's usually how the run of the mill was when it was come to. Of course, my last name is Kurtman. I remember one time I was actually fighting with a drunk male on the ground, and as we're rolling around on the ground, he took a look at my name badge and started laughing hysterically so much that I was able to actually
subdue him.
That's a good word for it. When I got him up into the, I said, "What's so funny?" He goes, "Your name's Kurtman." He goes, "You ever watch that cartoon? Some cartoon character named Kartman?"
Oh, that's the South Park.
I don't know what it is.
By the way, children.
That show is terrible.
I was glad he watched it. it helped me win the fight that night. Oh, man. You're like me. We could write a book. I remember one time. This is the strangest thing, so I'm keeping an eye on the time here. We've got about 8 minutes left here in the show. Mm-hmm. I remember one time. I was just a jailer working for the Miller County Sheriff's Department. We got a call in from a lady that said, "I've just hit a kangaroo out here on Highway 54, and I need an accident report."
A kangaroo.
Dispatcher, long pause. You know, are you sure you hit a kangaroo? Are you sure it wasn't a deer? No, I hit a kangaroo. I need a police report. Get a policeman out here right now. Are you sure it's a kangaroo? I'm looking at it. It's a marsupial. I know what a kangaroo is. All right, well, that'll be fine. Of course, our policy was the sheriff's departments in Missouri generally don't work accidents. They forward those calls onto the highway patrol.
I'm just wondering, was that 80 proof or 100 proof?
Well, no, listen, this gets good. So dispatcher switches frequencies, calls Jeff City about 40 miles away on the radio, and says, we have a report of a 1050, that's a car accident, car versus kangaroo. RP, reporting party, is requesting a report. There's a long pause over the radio, and the dispatcher had a real deep booming voice, 10-9, which means repeat yourself, please. So we've got a report of a car versus kangaroo, 1050 out on Highway 54. Again, another long pause. 10-9. We've got a report. Told him again. He says, I'll send a car. So the other dispatcher was the other police officer was there in the office, and he said, you know what? He said, I got to go see this. So he jumped in his car, the other deputy, went down there. Sure enough, there's a dead kangaroo sprawled out across the highway.
Oh, my God.
He came back. He says, you're not going to believe this. Years ago, there, I believe the name of the zoo, there used to be a little zoo back in the woods, back in the 50s. It was a big tourist spot. It was called the Max Allen's Petting Zoo or something like that. I remember the name Max Allen. Every now and then, I'll search that area on eBay and find a postcard from the Max Allen Zoo. But he kept kangaroos back in there, and his family, even though they shut the zoo down, his family had continued to take care and some of these animals bred and everything, and nobody knew this. One got loose and tried to jump across the highway and go into town.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, that was one of those strange calls. We could write a book.
Where you're not even sure if the person's all there.
Yeah, yeah. And you get some weird calls that aren't even police-related. One time we had a drunk call in, and he said, I want to report a dead dog on my couch. And the dispatcher could not hear him. And could you repeat that? He says, I want to report a dead dog on my couch. She said, mister, if you don't quit drinking, there's going to be two dead dogs on your couch.
I can only tell you very briefly, probably the most bizarre thing that happened when I was a cop. There was the police captain's nephew in Massachusetts. I won't say with the town or anything. I'm not naming names to protect the guilty. Comes running over to me. I'm sitting there in full uniform. Lieutenant bars on my shoulders, gold badge, the whole nine yards. And he hands me his business card. It says, Coke is the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't selling Coke.
Oh, I'm sure he wasn't.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure. A lot of that goes along.
I couldn't believe it. It was just so brazen.
I would. I haven't had a chance. I've met a couple of our local officers. I've met the sheriff and the chief up in Cloudcroft. Mr. Flott and Mr. Sheriff here, met both of them. Great, outstanding men. They really do an excellent, and what I feel is an excellent job here. And my hats are off to them in the job that they do supervising our local law enforcement people. So I'm glad to hear that. Well, it's about that time. Adam, you know what that means?
Y-5-0.
That's what we call it. Great. We told cop stories, now we're playing a cop song.
And you know what's funny? I heard Adam last week. He didn't know the song.
No, he didn't. Not at first.
No, I remember.
Yep. So, folks, you have been listening to the Jason Kurtman Show. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a little different this week. It's been a little fun. I'm so glad that my side-kicking co-host, Adam Arnold, was able to make it in from competition.
Me too. It's fun being here listening.
Rob's a hoot, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Nah. I hope he comes back again.
Oh, he'll be back. He'll be back. I'm sure of it.
God willing, and if you invite me.
Oh, I'm sure of that. So,
by the way, if your listeners can put up with me.
Oh, we'll see. I'm sure we'll get some emails, maybe, and see how that goes. But it is that time of night where we shut down. I do thank you all for listening. Come back next week. I don't have a special guest next week, as of yet. And that may be all for the better, because maybe me and Adam will find some things to discuss and joke about. Again, latest in for the news report, Whitney Houston has died at age 48. This coming in from the Associated Press within the last 30 minutes. Thank you all for listening to the Jason Kurtman Show. We will continue with our regular scheduled programming.